This is Jay Sekulow. The White House confirms the president knew there were problems with healthcare.gov.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
I was not informed directly that the website would not be working as the way it was supposed to. Had I been informed, I wouldn't be going out saying, boy, this is going to be great.
So the president was not briefed on it?
What I can tell you is that, as you might expect, McKinsey, which is the firm, the outside firm that was contracted, provided a briefing on their review and recommendations for senior officials at HHS, CMS, and the White House. To ensure that the recommendations were being addressed, these officials were subsequently briefed on actions being taken to mitigate the risks identified in the review. The president received regular briefings on various aspects of implementing the ACA, including the recommendations from this review.
The president was briefed as early as March, and yet we still had this, as you call it, breaking news at the website. So how did nobody fix it?
The president, as we've said repeatedly, got regular briefings and was told that there were problems that were being addressed, and that upon launch, as I've said, and I can point you to the transcripts, there would be glitches, there would be problems.
Are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
We're now seeing in these reports that those top officials knew months ago that everything was not fine. In fact, there was chaos over at CMS where you literally had nobody in charge. This goes all the way up to Secretary Sebelius, Taverner. Over at CMS, you had the chief technology officer at the White House who was made aware of all of these problems, and yet the president's out there saying this is going to be like buying a TV on Amazon.
And now, chief counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
You know, let me tell you something, folks. The White House has to be damage control. It gives a new definition to the word damage and control. Number one, the damage is not controllable here. So now we know that the president of the United States, shock of shocks, knew in April that, yeah, there were problems with the rollout. There was going to be all kinds of problems. McKinsey briefed the White House, briefed the president. He was aware of it. But then he goes on, and we're going to play those bites today, telling you and me, the American people, that if I thought there was a problem with this, I would have, you know, I wouldn't have rolled it out saying it was going to be like Google or Amazon. It's not like Google or Amazon. Give me the name of an internet company that came out and did not do very well and is gone. That's what it is. And that's what it should be, gone. So let's get the phone calls if you want to talk to us on air. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. And then I love the security people yesterday at the hearing saying, oh, no, it's not secure because, ready for this? 30 to 40% of the back end of the computer system, the program, has not yet complete. I mean, you'd get fired if you were the chief executive and the chief technology officer. Jordan, what's the latest in Washington with this nonsense coming out from the president?
Well, we have a lying president, a president who was informed 7 months ago that his website, healthcare.gov, wouldn't work, came out when the problem started and had Kathleen Sebelius say the president didn't know. He said he didn't know. He's lying. He continues to lie to the American people. Now they're saying, well, he knew there was going to be some issues, but every website has issues. And you made the perfect point, which is there's a difference between websites that get overcrowded and sometimes crash or have little problems that are able to be corrected and a website that a month and a half later still can't work. And now 7 weeks later does not work. And a president who knew that 7 months ago and made no changes in his leadership team.
All right, folks, this is the White House that won't admit it. They're living in Oz, I guess, is the Wizard of Oz, I guess, is the president, and he's pulling the strings back there, but nothing seems to be happening. And you know what? Here's the bad news. The Wicked Witch of the West has landed right there at healthcare.gov because nothing's working the way it's supposed to. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Folks, it is time to get on board the train to get rid of Obamacare as we know it. You go to ACLJ.org or you call us at 1-877-989-2255. You sign that petition now. Thousands and thousands have. We're going to win this. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. We're in our matching challenge. And let me tell you this, folks. This is a very good day yesterday. A lot of people gave support to the ACLJ at ACLJ.org. I encourage you to do that. If you want to sign that petition, 1-877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org.
When his policies fail, President Obama ignores the law. He delayed the employer mandate on his own. Now he's trying to fix an insurance market that he broke. That's not how a democracy works. The Obama administration can't restore canceled insurance policies, and it can't fix the Obamacare website fast enough to save the market. Because of Obamacare, millions of Americans have had their health insurance policies canceled. Millions more will be left uninsured and in violation of federal law through no fault of their own. At the ACLJ, we've already prepared litigation, a case ready to be filed that will block the administration from imposing its unconstitutional penalties on the American public. Sign on to our petition now. Send a message to the president. Delay the mandate or we will sue. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to know that the American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekula.
We are very grateful. I want to say this, a huge thank you to our friends and members from literally from coast to coast. Because of the generosity of our members, we've added new lawyers. We're handling international affairs as high as even the United Nations. A lot of issues going on. A lot of great things happening. A huge thank you to our friends and members around the country.
With an exceptional track record of success, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. There's no better place to get the facts, the truth, about the issues that matter most to you and your family than at the ACLJ website. Learn more about our work and our defense of freedom online at aclj.org.
Tell me sweet lies.
But we're going to call it like it is here at Jay Sekula Live, and the president's not telling the truth. We call that a lie in the United States of America. He knew exactly what was going on here. This is a disastrous rollout. It is costing the American people money. It is costing 5,450,000 people their insurance policies. We just saw that flashed up on the news. And I want to tell you, we are fighting back aggressively. We're going to go to a bit on the Saeed matter. We've come up with a unique program we're going to tell you about in a moment. But let me get you started with this. If you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We also have a petition up, and I want to encourage you to sign it at aclj.org or 1-877-989-2255. And the reason I want you to sign it is because the momentum is clearly in our direction here. Than, it is moving quickly in our favor as this disaster continues. Every day is bringing new news.
It really is, and I think it points back to the point that Jordan made about the president being a chronic liar. I mean, we saw the president's approval rating is all the way down to 37%. Jay, that includes a bunch of people that support Obamacare. The bottom line is they don't like being lied to, and they especially don't like being lied to by the president of the United States. Yep. And as every shred of evidence comes in, there are fewer and fewer people that can claim otherwise. The bottom line is they haven't been told the truth, and they do not like it.
Well, I'll tell you this, folks. We are, as I said, we're fighting back on a whole host of counts on this, and that's where you come in. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255 to sign that petition. Let me tell you something else. We are more than halfway into our matching challenge campaign. Let me ask this to David, and then I'm going to get into this situation we've got going on with Pastor Saeed. But let's talk about where we are. November and December are monthly challenges, matching challenges for us. We're on the 20th now, so we are more than halfway there as far as the date goes. How are we doing? How close are we?
We are a little less than 400,000 away from our stretch goal of $1 million for our November matching challenge. People are responding, but we got a ways to go.
All right, folks, here's where I need your help. We really want the November and December for us is almost makes up like 35-40% of the year in donation revenue. So we need to really hear from you on this. If you appreciate what we're doing, if you appreciate this radio broadcast, if you appreciate our work on the healthcare, if you appreciate our work fighting for Israel, fighting for the release of Pastor Saeed and the persecuted church, then let me ask you to support the ACLJ. You do that by going to aclj.org or 1-877-989-2255, and you make an online gift, and any amount you give is matched. Now, some of you don't have the financial capacity to help us right now, and we understand that. There is a way for you to do it without spending any more money. Our new member benefits program provides you with access to great products at great prices, things you're already purchasing, and you will help us every time you make these purchases. You could get information from our member services direct. That is another way to help us at the ACLJ at 1-800-311-2472. That's 800 311-247-2 to our member services number. And again, if you want to make a donation to the ACLJ, aclj.org or 877-989-2255. Okay, let's get an update here on Pastor Saeed's situation. Jordan, you gave us a brief update yesterday. Give us a status of where the pastor's situation is right now. Then David's going to talk about a program we launched today that's getting huge results.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, we've got a situation where we at least were able to confirm this week for the first time on Monday. Pastor Saeed's family was able to see him in person. So since the prison transfer, since Evan Prison said he was transferred to Rajashahr over the last 2 weeks, the family's gone back, tried to get him his medication, his personal belongings, and they kept being told, well, come back this time, come back next time. So they never actually seen him. And in Iranian prisons, you can't assume anything that someone, well, they're just telling you the truth. In fact, you know, in these prisons, sometimes families are not even told of executions until 7 days, 10 days later, or they have the body delivered to their home. So it was, in a sense, though, it's I wouldn't say good news. It was a development that we know Saeed is alive. He was not able to receive his medication, and it's getting international attention around the world because it looked like the Iranians were trying to prevent his family from visiting him. And I think because of international pressure and, again, this upsurge from around the world, but especially here in the United States on Saeed's behalf and in Congress and what we're launching today via social media as well, this continued pressure in the media is the only reason why his family was able to see him and confirm that he's still alive.
Well, that is good news that we know he's alive. And then we have launched a campaign because right now Iran is meeting with the P5 plus one again in Geneva. That's going on. This is a time for Saeed's release to be talked about. David, go ahead and tell us what we've launched a major campaign in our digital media group.
Yeah, what happened is we have the president of Iran and the foreign minister of Iran are on Twitter in English. They have an English language Twitter feed. And so what we did is we mobilized our Be Heard project, the folks who are fighting out there with us for the persecuted church. We sent a message to them today, and we said, look, tweet for Saeed directly to the president of Iran, directly to the foreign minister of Iran, and respectfully ask that they save Saeed, that they release Saeed. And the response was amazing. I mean, the Twitter feeds for both the foreign minister and the president are overrun with direct requests to save Saeed. It's remarkable to see the trend lines on Twitter. It's hundreds. It'll be more than 1,000 tweets, you know, here within the next few minutes for Saeed directly to the president of Iran, directly to the foreign minister of Iran.
Well, this is exactly why, folks, we're fighting back so aggressively on all of this, on all of these counts, and that's where you come in. Again, if you appreciate the work of the ACLJ, let me encourage you to go to aclj.org, make an online contribution, or at least sign these petitions. SaveSaeed.org. Is that
SaveSaeed.org
or BeHeardProject.com? Either right. One, folks, you can go to and get right to the site and get the most updated information. But as David said, it's a unique approach we're taking, but these things tend to get results. So we are literally bombarding, in a sense, the president of Iran's Twitter feed right now. So I encourage you again, BeHeardProject.com, BeHeardProject.com, or ACLJ.org. You can get the information either place. And again, support the work here at the ACLJ. We're in our monthly challenge for November, a matching challenge. We are about, as David said, about $400,000 shy of our goal, which means we need to hear from you at ACLJ.org to make that online gift or call it in at 1-877-989-2255. And remember, if you don't have the finances to help us, which we understand, call our member services number right now, and you can find out ways you can help us with things you're doing every day. That number is 1-800-311-2472. Let me play for you, back on the healthcare matter, an exchange yesterday with Congressman Cory Gardner and Henry Chow, who, of course, is the Chief Technology Officer for HHS. Listen to this one, number six.
How much do we have to build today still? I mean, what do we need to build? 50%, 40%, 30%?
I think it's just an approximation. We're probably sitting somewhere between 60 and 70% because we still have to build the system.
60 or 70% that needs to be built still?
Because we still have to build the payment systems to make payments to issuers in January.
So they can't even, Jordan, make payments right now. In January, they don't have that set up. So those subsidies are like hocus pocus, like funny money.
Not only are the subsidies like funny money, the whole system it can't work. So you can't actually pay for your insurance plan. No one is insured. No one has coverage. It is zero. There may be people who thought they have purchased it. There may be people who put their banking account information, their credit card information in, but they don't have it yet. It hasn't been run. They haven't been charged. And then the state exchanges are even worse. In Oregon, not a single person has been able to sign up on their state exchange. Not one person. The only people that have been able to sign up in Oregon have supposedly been doing it through paper applications, which takes away the whole benefit we're told about Obamacare, which is that you get to see all these different plans. So you apply for paper and what? Then they come back to you with more paper. And of course, if they can't access their database online, right, we know that those paper applications are meaningless as well. There are literally zero people with insurance now, other than the Medicaid expansion, because of Obamacare.
Will Haynes pointed this out. The insurers are going, you know what's going to happen? The insurers are going to go after the policyholders on January 1st when they can't get their money. And David, that's why, and then you got the penalty implementation coming in just about 8 weeks later. So we're preparing litigation right now on this.
That's exactly right. Look, it's very simple. There's a Fifth Amendment violation if the government penalizes a person when the government itself makes compliance impossible. It's really simple. You cannot punish Americans when you make it impossible for Americans to follow the law. This case, and as we've already got it, we have it in writing in our office right now. So that's how ready to go this is.
Folks, that's exactly why we're fighting back. We're going to be taking your calls. Let me say this again. We're talking about both the healthcare situation and the Saeed matter. For people that want to get involved in this tweet to Rouhani, the president of Iran, what do we need? What do they need to do? What's the best way to do it?
All they need to do is go to BeHeardProject.com, click on Pastor Saeed's name, and it is right there in front of them. Click on the name and scroll down. It's easy.
All right, BeHeardProject.com. Let me encourage you to do that as well. BeHeardProject.com. When we come back from the break, we're going to get to your phone calls. Folks, again, we're in a matching challenge campaign. I really, as you can tell by the nature of the work we're engaged in on so many fronts, we could use your help. ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Now, any amount you donate to the ACLJ this month, we get a matching grant for. Someone yesterday donated $10,000. $20,000. We got $40,000. So this is huge for us. And that came in during our radio broadcast. So we encourage you to do that. I want to thank you, the members of the ACLJ that have been supporting us. Thank you. But as I said, November, December are critical months for us. You can call in your pledge as well at 877-989-2255 or go to simply the easiest way, ACLJ.org. And for those of you that don't have the resources, again, to help us right now, there is a way you can do it. With things you're buying every day, our new member benefit program will allow you to help us when you make those purchases and save yourself money at the same time. Call our member services number at 1-800-311-2472. That's 800-311-2472. Back with more in a moment.
The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. When his policies fail, President Obama ignores the law. He delayed the employer mandate on his own. Now he's trying to fix an insurance market that he broke. That's not how a democracy works. The Obama administration can't restore canceled insurance policies, and it can't fix the Obamacare website fast enough to save the market. Because of Obamacare, millions of Americans have had their health insurance policies canceled. Millions more will be left uninsured and in violation of federal law through no fault of their own. At the ACLJ, we've already prepared litigation, a case ready to be filed that will block the administration from imposing its unconstitutional penalties on the American public. Sign on to our petition now. Send a message to the president. Delay the mandate or we will sue. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
Kansas anymore, but that happens to be the state Kathleen Sebelius is from, and maybe shipping her back. But the president will take no action against anybody, which is, to me, the irony of ironies here. And, Than, let me ask you this, and then we're going to get to your calls, folks, I promise. When is someone going to hold the administration and staff really accountable here? I mean, including Republicans that want to say get some action done, not just having more hearings. Everybody knows there's problems, so I understand we got to have hearings, so we know it's a mess. How are we fixing it?
Yeah, it sure better be soon, Jay. And I think these 2 points we've been talking about, the fact that there's 40% of this site left to build, even though they've been building for 3.5 years, let me tell you something, it's not going to be ready by January. I can guarantee that. But the second point is the security issues that you came up with. The hearing that happened yesterday, expert after expert said you only have to have low skills to be able to get in and get personal data. I think that is when someone has to be held accountable. When Americans' people's personal information is being lost, someone's got to go. I would start with Secretary Sebelius.
Well, I wish you could start higher up, but that's not the way it works in our country. But yes, she certainly should be responsible. All right, Jordan, let's do this. Let's go get some phone calls. 1-800-684-3110.
Yeah, let's go to Chris calling in California on line one. He's been holding on. Chris, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hey, Jay, how you doing? I know that I'm not the only God-fearing, believing Christian who knows that you're well-educated and well-versed on our rights there in the Capitol, and I appreciate that on behalf of the others.
Thanks.
As well. Real quick before I get to my questions that I have, we know that our president doesn't protect us as a nation, but he'll protect the Islam faith, and we know that by Egypt.
Okay, we've gone over that issue, Chris, as you know, on the supporting the Muslim Brotherhood and all that. We're trying to focus the activity right now, though, on domestic. So what's your question?
And so with what you were saying about the Fifth Amendment and our rights, where do we go from here?
Well, that's a good question, and that's why I was just pressing Than. You know, we're having all these hearings, but we've got to end it. I mean, at some point, the president, I don't think David is going to say uncle and give up here. The thing is, it's affecting 20% of the economy, and it's our health care. So the American people have to take control of the situation.
He's not going to give up.
No.
I mean, it's exactly right. The American people have to take control. The earliest opportunity to take control is the 2014 election season. And by the way, Fox News was just reporting that they're projecting up to 50 million insurance cancellations before the 2014 election in the employer market.
Jeez.
50 million, 50 million. So we're at the we're now seeing why he delayed the employer mandate, right? Because as bad as it is right now, imagine that times 10.
So then the question becomes, and that's where these are coming in, Jordan, what happens here? So let's talk about, we know legally we're prepared to file lawsuits. We've got lawsuits all ready to go. Legislation, we're working on rolling this back. But it really is now. The president's not going to say I give up, but it is a absolute fiasco. And the president of the United States knew about this.
That's right. I mean, we now have a situation where the president not only lied to the American people about if you like your plan, you can keep it. He not only lied to the American people that if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. He also lied to the American people when he said he didn't have any idea about the website being flawed. 7 months before the launch of this website, he was fully briefed. He got the same briefing that Kathleen Sebelius got, who also testified that the president didn't know, and Jay Carney, who said to the press that the president didn't know. He was fully briefed that the website was not going to work, that there were serious problems, and he made no changes in his team. He made no changes in leadership. He's a failed leader. He's been a failed leader for the last few years. And you would think, at least on this issue, on something he's the only major piece of legislation he's passed and probably the only piece he will pass now that this has come out. I don't think the Democrats are going to do real well in the midterm elections next year. So this will be it. And he yet didn't care enough to make changes. He is more interested in loyalty, because the problem is, I think if he started getting rid of these people, they may start turning. You're going to find out a lot more scandals like the IRS, when people who were pressured into doing things they knew weren't right and they knew couldn't be done.
I want to play a soundbite here, folks. If you want to think you got trouble with this healthcare system and the website, these are from security experts reviewing the site, both from Johns Hopkins University and Southern Methodist University. The congressman asking the questions is Chris Collins. He's a Republican from New York. Take a listen to this, folks. This should send chill bumps over to anyone that realizes what is going on here.
Do any of you today think today that the site is secure?
No.
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 In your opinion, do any of you think the site will be secure on November 30th?
No.
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 Would you recommend today that this site be shut down until it is verified to be secure?
Yes.
Yes.
I would need more information.
Yes.
How about that, folks? Not secure, would not use it. Three out of four say shut it down now. The fourth one says it needs a little more information before he can say shut it down now. These are security experts. So ask yourself, why are we doing this to 20% of our economy with our personal medical data, financial information? So we are looking, folks, we are looking at every conceivable legal angle we can do to stop this nonsense, besides the abortion factor in all this, which is already headed to the Supreme Court in the United States. But, David, you look at the seriousness of this. I mean, we're watching these numbers roll in. It is scary. This is the news dominant story, folks, because it's 20% of the United States economy.
Well, you know, we were sold this plan, or at least some part of America was sold this plan, to say that it was going to insure the uninsured. It's not doing that. It's costing people their insurance, $5 million so far. So right now, it's not fulfilling its purpose. He's holding on to this for political pride at this point because it would be too much of a political disaster for him to give in. Well, what about the healthcare disaster that our Americans are facing for the sake of his political pride?
Well, I'll tell you this. The American people are the ones that are suffering on this. And, Fan, let's talk about the legislation for a moment. What's the next major move? Because people are asking about that.
Yeah, Senator Cruz actually came out just about a half hour ago and actually commented on this. He says there's basically two things, and they're what we've been talking about, Jay. Number one is you've got to go back to what the Hippocratic Oath said, do no harm. In order to do that, you've got to repeal Obamacare. You can't move forward the next piece until that is gone. But then right behind it, you do have to roll out the reforms that actually start providing competition, you know, portability across state line, HSAs. He is actually going to roll out his comprehensive legislation in the next couple of weeks. There are other ideas out there, but it all comes back to this, Jay. You can't even move those until you pull Obamacare out by his roots. That's got to be step number one.
All right, folks. We are fighting back. We're going to be taking your calls when we come back, but here's what I need you to do. As you could tell, our legal work here at the ACLJ and around the globe, whether it's Pastor Saeed's case or this HHS mandate or this whole healthcare disaster rollout, we're fighting aggressively for you. Help us out at ACLJ.org. Make that online contribution or call in your pledge at 1-877-989-2255. And also sign that petition. End Obamacare, folks. It's ending on itself, but we've got to push it to stop before it literally destroys the healthcare delivery system in the United States. 1-877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. And again, this is important, folks. If you want to make that online gift, let me encourage you to do it at ACLJ.org. If you don't have the resources to do that, call our member benefits program with things you're purchasing every day. You'll be able to help us out. 1-800-311-2472. So there's three ways you can help us. ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255 or member services at 800-311-2472. That's 1-800-311-2472. Back with more in a moment.
At the ACLJ, we've already prepared litigation, a case ready to be filed that will block the administration from imposing its unconstitutional penalties on the American public. Sign on to our petition now, send a message to the president, delay the mandate, or we will sue. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow, and we are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. We're talking about the president's, well, lying president, I would call him. And we don't say that lightly, but he's a president who came out and said he had no idea how bad the website would be, and yet we found out he was briefed 7 months ago about how bad the website would be, along with Kathleen Sebelius, who said the president didn't know. He told you you could keep your health care plan if you liked it, lied about that, and he knew he was lying about that as early as 2010. He told you you could keep your doctor if you like your doctor. He also knew he was lying about that as early as 2010. And now you have a president who is at his lowest approval rating ever. I mean, to even call it approval rating is pretty funny because it's 37%. So he's about almost at the level of Congress. And that's, of course, a very divided poll when you poll people on if they like Congress, because you got Republicans and Democrats. So when people poll that, of course, it's based on kind of partisanship and deadlock. But look at the president's approval numbers. And you go back into the Bush presidency and you see some of the low points. This is unprecedentedly low. And I think a lot of those Democrats who thought they were going to capitalize on a shutdown, anybody remember that? I don't think so. Why? Because a lot of people won't have insurance come January 1st, or they're paying, like in North Carolina, where they decided you could keep your plan after this president and after the president announced that you could, except for Blue Cross people, it will go up 24%, your existing plan, because of the other requirements they've had to meet with other health care plans. So that was more than double the plans have ever gone up in their history in North Carolina, up 24%. And people are calling that good news there because of how bad the other plans that were offered on the market and how much more expensive they were. Let's get right to your phone calls. People have been holding on the line. We'll go to Greg in California on line three. Greg, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air. Hey, Greg, you there? If not, we will go to Sharon in Illinois on line one. Sharon, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Thank you for your program and all you're doing. I try to listen every day, and listening to the Chicago radio stations yesterday, you'd believe all is falling into place with Obamacare, so I'm so grateful to know exactly what is happening. Thank you so much for your program. I have a question about Medicaid. I've lived with a disability for 30 years, and I've exhausted my monetary resources to pay for health insurance coverage a couple of years ago. Now I'm told that I'm eligible for Medicaid, and I'm wondering, should I sign up or wait, and is this website secure?
Well, I mean, listen, you got a situation, Sharon. Let's just play. Can we play the soundbite, guys, with the security? Is it going to be secure? Now, again, because you're eligible for the Medicaid expansion, I don't want to tell you not to sign up for that. But you did ask the security question. Now, Medicaid, it may be different because that's a different program. So, again, Sharon, if you're eligible, I think you should take advantage of it with the disability, certainly. But here is what a team of security analysts, when they testified under oath to Congress, what they had to say yesterday about the security.
Do any of you today think today that the site is secure?
No.
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 In your opinion, do any of you think the site will be secure on November 30th?
No.
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 Would you recommend today that this site be shut down until it is verified to be secure?
Yes.
Yes.
I would need more information.
Yes.
Folks, I mean, Sharon, I think, you know, that answers the question for healthcare.gov. Now, I want to make sure that if you're through Medicaid that I don't think you should not sign up for the Medicaid expansion if it's available to you. So I want to make that clear. But a lot of these security concerns about healthcare.gov. And of course, listen, if they have those security concerns about healthcare.gov, the truth is we know this is a website that literally these experts have testified as saying they won't know if it's hacked. You can't even know if it's hacked. That's how poorly it was built. Folks, if you want to take a stand here, we need your support. If you can make an online donation to the American Center for Law and Justice, your gift will be doubled to the ACLJ. And this is an important time for us. You can make the donation online at ACLJ.org. We've also launched a new social media campaign for Pastor Saeed Abedini, still in prison in Iran, confirmed alive this week in a new prison. Find out more about that at BeHeardProject.com. We'll be right back. Tell me lies, tell me sweet little lies.
When his policies fail, President Obama ignores the law. He delayed the employer mandate on his own. Now he's trying to fix an insurance market that he broke. That's not how a democracy works. The Obama administration can't restore canceled insurance policies, and it can't fix the Obamacare website fast enough to save the market. Because of Obamacare, millions of Americans have had their health insurance policies canceled. Millions more will be left uninsured and in violation of federal law through no fault of their own. At the ACLJ, we've already prepared litigation, a case ready to be filed that will block the administration from imposing its unconstitutional penalties on the American public. Sign on to our petition now. Send a message to the president. Delay the mandate or we will sue. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org. The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow, joined by Than Bennett, and who's the ACLJ's Director of Government Affairs, David French, Senior Counsel with the ACLJ. We've launched a new campaign for Pastor Saeed Abedini. We'll talk about that in a moment, but I do want to take more of your phone calls. Some of you have been hanging on the line. Mary Ellen, Illinois, on line six. Mary Ellen, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Oh, hi, Jordan. I just wanted to tell you all that in today's Tribune in Chicago, Abbott's CEO was quoted as saying that there's clear incentives for companies to drop health plans and move people onto the exchanges over the next 5 years. So that tells me that we're only seeing the tip of the iceberg with the individual markets.
Oh, Mary Ellen, I absolutely agree with you. I mean, if you look at large employers, and I'd say starting with the 50 or more employers, let's start there with how they defined big companies, which is kind of ridiculous, right? I mean, if you have, I think, you know, a couple hundred or less people, I don't consider that the same as a company that has, you know, 10,000 or 20,000. Big difference, right? And your overhead and how you're structured and your tax system. But anyhow, the administration and this law defines it as 50 or more. If you have 50 or more, listen, it's better to either fire five people and then you don't have to comply with the law ever. So you could just fire one person, get to 49, and you're okay. Or if you need to expand, it's cheaper to pay the penalty in many cases. Then, so you can pay a penalty per person, which is cheaper than actually giving them health care. Now, so you're going to have employers having to make the decision. And listen, their job is to make money. And then the larger the companies get, when you have stockholders, of course, you've got their interest. And you're supposed to be working in the best interest of the stockholders, which means if the company will be financially harmed because of health insurance plans provided, and it will be make the company worse off because of that, then it'll be better to pay the fine and cheaper to pay the fine. They'll make more money. Then that's what's best for the shareholders. So, yes, they will have an incentive. You're right, Mary Ellen, and so is the head of Aetna. They will have an incentive to drop their employee coverage as well. So this is just the tip of the iceberg, as you said, and there is nothing guaranteeing anybody out there right now who has a great employer plan. Listen, your employer got exempted for next year. If you work for a place with 50 or more employees, they got exempted. If you work for one with 50 or less, they aren't covered by this, so you have a good employer if they've got insurance through them, and you should thank them for that and hope that it continues. But if you work for a company that has 50 or more, they got exempted from meeting the mandates requirements for this year, but not next year. So I wouldn't, but you could quickly find yourself in the same situation and then as the 5 million people plus have found themselves who have lost their individual plans.
There is just absolutely no question, Jordan. This is about to get infinitely worse. You're dealing with a fraction of the market in the individual insurance market right now, and already almost 6 million people have lost their insurance plans. When that employer mandate kicks in, and by the way, it was only pushed back for this exact reason. The president did not want to deal with tens and hundreds of millions of people losing their insurance plans. When that mandate kicks in, it is a certainty that employers are going to start dumping their plans. They're going to have no economic decision. Millions more will lose their coverage. And by the way, the fact that the rest of the website is not allowing for payment plans, another group that's going to come into this are insurance companies. When they do not start getting paid, those subsidies that have been promised from the federal government, guess who they're going to go after? They're going to go after those policyholders. So this is about to get much, much worse, believe it or not.
Folks, so we're going to take more of your phone calls now, as promised. But David French had an interesting comment as well. And David, this is about the amount of people from who get their insurance from employers, but that insurance wouldn't meet the standards. They would have lost it this year, but that got exempted out for at least a year.
Right. About half of all employees right now, your health insurance, if you get it through your employer, about half of your of those listening, your policy does not comply with the Affordable Care Act. It does not comply. So your employer will either have to drop it or increase their costs to cover it. Now, you think, well, my plan's great. It's going to comply. Well, guess what? If your plan is too good, it gets taxed. And so your employer will have to bear even more costs. So some people who have great plans are going to lose their great plans. Some people who have average plans are going to find that they have no plan. It is an epic disaster. We're now seeing why he delayed the employer mandate. He delayed it so that it would be only 5 million losing their insurance and not 50 million.
All right, folks, we will go right back to your phone calls as promised. Let's go to Patrick in Tennessee on line three. Patrick, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air. Hey, Patrick, you there?
Oh, yes, I'm sorry. Thank you for taking my phone call. I'm a truck driver now. I retired from the military. But
thank you for your service.
Oh, thank you. How can we as a nation allow the president and this administration to get away with not only negligently destroying the health care system, but disabling the military and even our intelligence community and our nation as we know it? I mean, I was in the military intelligence, and the things that he's doing to military intelligence and even the force protection aspect of the military is just disastrous.
Well, I'm going to go to David French on this because David French serves and is part of the Army Reserve JAG and has served in Iraq, a veteran of the Iraq. And David, again, I want to thank the caller for his service. And he worked in intelligence. He's seeing kind of like the unraveling. And, you know, we get distracted. You know, we go, we're talking about healthcare now. There's these negotiations with Iran on a nuclear program. And what the administration has agreed to on that is pretty absurd. They could continue enrichment. They could continue the centrifuges they have. They could continue their hard water plant, which would could allow them to produce plutonium. These don't seem like the kind of conditions that you lift sanctions for.
These are the kind of conditions that allowed North Korea to get the nuclear bomb. I mean, we're staring an epic disaster in the face in the Middle East if the jihadist Iranian regime gets the bomb. And as far as what's happening to our military, you know, there are combat brigades in the infantry that have not gone to a live firing range in months to practice their marksmanship because the sequester cuts have been applied so unintelligently that they're cutting into ammunition stocks. I mean, that's absurd. I think everyone agrees that the military, like everything else, could stand some budget cuts. But to do it as stupidly as this administration is doing it, it's a national scandal in its own right.
Yeah, absolutely. Folks, we're going to go into more of your phone calls, and we need your support. This is a great time if you can make a donation to the American Center for Law and Justice. We are in a matching challenge, an important time of the year for us. And just to give you an example, $5 to the ACLJ if you donated online at aclj.org or by calling 877-989-2255. $5 turns to 10 for us. 10 becomes 20, 20 becomes 40, and it goes up from there. It doubles. So your donation is doubled to the American Center for Law and Justice. You can make that donation online at aclj.org or by calling this toll-free number right now. It doesn't cost you anything to make the phone call. 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. 888-989-2255. Art in New Jersey, online too. Art, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi there. How are you? Thank you for your program.
Thanks, Art. Thanks for calling.
I've got four questions I'd like you to comment on, and then I'll just jump off. The first is, comment on the fact that when doctors opt out of the federal system, that means that the Medicare and Medicaid patients, apart from Obamacare, also lose their physicians and or have to find new ones. The second thing is, could you comment on the fact that since the Supreme Court has ruled this as a tax, how can the president, without congressional action, go back and actually apply the tax inequitably to the people that it was passed for? In other words, the exemptions of corporations, et cetera.
Sure.
After the tax was passed, shouldn't those be illegal? And isn't there a Supreme Court case action to take and nullify the whole law because of that? The third is, young people can opt out of the system because given that pre-existing conditions have to be covered, why don't they just wait until they get...
Sure. Well, I'll agree with you on that one. We don't have to discuss it. There is no incentive at all for a young person right now to go through this process unless they have a very high income at a young age where 1% of their income will be higher than the $95 a year fine, which is fairly unlikely for most in that age group. That it's just better for them to pay the penalty and they can go get insurance the day they have an accident.
Okay.
And then let me answer just some of your other questions for you. You had a few. On the Supreme Court issue, I would say this. The challenge was on the individual side. The businesses, they're not going to challenge getting exempted for a year. And whether or not you like the president's decision or there, I don't think you're going to see businesses rushing to challenge that in court. What the Supreme Court said was that this was a tax by Congress. The Supreme Court did not say it couldn't be repealed and that it couldn't be changed. The question is, can the president be making these changes unilaterally, and is there enough time to challenge them in court? We are ready to file a lawsuit. We'll be talking about that more in the future. Folks, we have one more caller who's been on a long time. Let me take him real quick. Alan in Alabama, line four. Alan, if you're with us, you got about 15 seconds left.
Okay, yeah, thanks, Jordan. Mitch wanted to mention, I mean, the president has committed fraud on the American people. When you knowingly make a material misstatement, yep, it's known as fraud. He's done this repeatedly four or five times. He's got to be held accountable for this. If we could start impeachment proceedings.
Well, listen, you know what, Alan? The truth is, I think we're going to be stuck with this president, but we can change Congress. So don't ever leave that out of the option. Folks, we need your support. Donate online at aclj.org. We'll be right back.
The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. When his policies fail, President Obama ignores the law. He delayed the employer mandate on his own. Now he's trying to fix an insurance market that he broke. That's not how a democracy works. The Obama administration can't restore canceled insurance policies, and it can't fix the Obamacare website fast enough to save the market. Because of Obamacare, millions of Americans have had their health insurance policies canceled. Millions more will be left uninsured and in violation of federal law through no fault of their own. At the ACLJ, we've already prepared litigation, a case ready to be filed that will block the administration from imposing its unconstitutional penalties on the American public. Sign on to our petition now. Send a message to the president. Delay the mandate or we will sue. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. Than Bennett in Washington, D.C. Listen, we are going to get back to the issue of Obamacare and the individual mandate, the urgent need to delay the individual mandate. Of course, the entire law needs to be repealed altogether, but that individual mandate is bearing down on the American people. They're going to be faced with a violation of federal law and a tax penalty for not purchasing something that they have no way of acquiring due to the failed rollout of Obamacare. We will return to that issue momentarily. I wanted to play for you a segment from our new IRS movie. It's called Tax Invasion. It tells the story of the IRS abuse and targeting of conservative groups, Tea Party groups, 41 of which are our clients. Jay had the opportunity to sit down with a number of individuals, including Senator Cruz, Senator Paul, Congresswoman Bachman, former presidential candidate Herman Cain. He also sat down with the Reverend Rob Schenck, a good friend of the ACLJ's, who actually was a victim of some of this targeting by the IRS. The Reverend had a chance to tell Jay his story, talk about what that abuse felt like, talk about all of the staff resources that they had to put toward complying with that abuse that occurred. I wanted you to have a chance to hear that clip. If you want to see the entire movie, you can go to irsmovie.com. But let's go ahead and roll this clip. This is Jay with Reverend Rob Schenck.
We have been a 501c3 nonprofit organization. We're properly registered in the District of Columbia.
How long have you been a nonprofit?
We've been incorporated since 1982.
So we're talking over 30 years.
Over 30 years. We have never had trouble with the IRS until around 2008 when we started getting some inquiry letters. And they were not the...
It wasn't an audit letter. It was just requesting some information.
That's right. Just requesting additional information. Then 2 years later, well, let's see if I count it right. That was 2008. No, only a year later.
So in 2009?
In 2009, I was in our building, which is located on Capitol Hill. I was in my office after hours.
A couple buildings down from here.
Yeah, just on the same block, immediately behind the Supreme Court. We're a block from the Capitol, 10 minutes from the White House. And I happened to be in the building. The staff had gone home for
evening.
The day. It was evening, and the knock came on the door. And I usually don't answer the door after hours. There are security issues. There's all kinds of reasons I wouldn't. But I did. On this occasion, I happened to open the door, and the first thing I saw was a badge. And I was startled by it. But when I looked again, it was
Department of Treasury.
And the woman who was holding the badge said, IRS, sir, I need to speak with you.
Did she know who you were? Or she just was?
No.
No, okay. She didn't know who you were at that point, but she knew the organization.
That's right.
Okay.
And if I remember correctly, she did ask my name.
Right.
And she said, what is your position with the organization? I said, I'm the president. She said, well, I need to come in and ask you some questions. And I had been told all my professional career, don't pick a fight with the IRS. You will lose. That was the rule. And it booted up in me.
Mm-hmm.
Don't fight with these people. I can only be on the losing end of that equation. So maybe naively, but I invited her in. I was very cordial. I was very cooperative. But the first thing she asked me for was literature on our organization. And I just thought that was peculiar.
So the agent asked you a series of questions and wants to see your literature.
Wants to see our literature, wanted to see a list of our top donors.
Right.
Which I found highly unusual.
What did you say to her?
Well, I was kind of flabbergasted, and I remember saying, I don't know if I'm comfortable doing that. She said, sir, it doesn't matter whether you're comfortable or not. You have to show it to me. And I'm a layman in the law. I'm looking at a woman with a badge, and I know the IRS can create a lot of trouble for an organization like ours, even if we're in the right.
Right.
I know they can drain our time, energy, effort, resources. I said, I'm going to admit, I just kind of folded. I complied. I said, whatever you need to see, we will make available to you. She said, well, I'll be back. And she was several times. At some point, we turned it over to our accountants.
Well, I actually remember that point.
Yes.
Because you and I were having dinner down the street.
That's right.
And I said, get your CPAs to file a form 2848. We couldn't tell from the conversation with the agent that you were relaying to me what was really going on here.
Exactly.
And then you had that weird thing over the $250 2009 check that they said you owed $250 or something that the organization was like, which you would have paid in 2 minutes instead of going through this aggravation, even if you didn't owe it.
Oh my goodness. In fact, when that finally came out, and it seemed like, I'm just going to be honest, it seemed like a ruse to me.
Right.
Because finally she said, well, sir, there is a matter of a unpaid balance of $250 that dates, I think, to 2008. I can't remember the year. It seemed absurd. I said, we will cut you a check. In fact, I remember laughing and saying, would you like it in cash? I mean, if you don't even want a check, I'll pay it in cash. I mean, come on. That's ridiculous. And she continued. She had made at least a couple of visits after that, always asking for literature
and
for records of donors and donations. And I do recall saying to my own staff, I'm very concerned that they're creating a target list because of the people who support. And the way I had it was, look, all you have to do is start harassing donors to an organization like ours to undermine the organization. Because people say, hey, I can't give, I give to them and I get in trouble with the IRS. Well, the last correspondence I saw was April of 2011, when finally everything went quiet.
You do realize now that April of 2011 is when the chief counsel's office of the IRS met with its own staff and ultimately Treasury and the White House to discuss this whole problem, which you were encountering firsthand. And the last series of letters that went out from that problem created by the IRS was April of 2011.
Well, everything just grew suddenly silent. Just kind of disappeared.
Which is what happened in all the cases, right? How long until you heard from them again? Or did you ever hear from them again?
We never heard from them again. And that's what made the whole thing so bizarre.
No follow-up correspondence?
No follow-up correspondence whatsoever. It was like we dropped off their radar screen, okay, which I wasn't ready. I didn't want to disturb.
Sure.
But I was glad they were gone.
But what you need to know is, I mean, just between us here, and I mean, people that are watching this, that what happened to you on the stopping of the communication in April of 2011 happened with 41 of our clients. The communication basically stopped because the IRS was caught with their hands in the cookie jar. And the sharing of information was going on. The Be On The Lookout list was created. They were sending these ridiculous letters out and ridiculous requests, as you experienced firsthand. And they stopped communicating for years. And then a lot of these cases never had a response. Did you ever have official closure? Did you finally get official closure, or did it just stop?
No.
Just ended?
It was as if it just dissolved, and it was done and over. And I told our accountants, don't let sleeping dogs lie. Don't disturb anything. And the feeling we had, all of us, including my own board of directors, was a feeling of intimidation. We felt we had been intimidated. We had, and that's a disconcerting feeling.
Again, folks, that was a segment from our new movie called Tax Invasion. You can see the whole thing at irsmovie.com. But as we close this segment, I want you to go to your phone. Stand with us against Obamacare and for a delay in the individual mandate. You can do so by calling 877-989-2255. You can also sign up at aclj.org. But listen, folks, enough is enough. This individual mandate is undoable. It is for a product that you are not able to purchase, and yet you are going to be penalized for not having it. Go to your phones, 877-989-2255.
At the ACLJ, we've already prepared litigation, a case ready to be filed that will block the administration from imposing its unconstitutional penalties on the American public. Sign on to our petition now, send a message to the president, delay the mandate, or we will sue. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or add your name online, aclj.org.